Hey, day 27. Today we are in Ecclesiastes 1 through 5 and 12. And then also in David's favorite book of the Bible, Song of Solomon, chapters 1 and 2.
That massive romantic.
Yes, he is.
Ecclesiastes. Let's start there. Again, we're tracking through books that are believed to be of Solomon. This is the tradition that these were also written by Solomon. There's a lot in Ecclesiastes that tells us that, basically talking about the wisdom that he had and the resources he had and all of this stuff. And basically Ecclesiastes is Solomon summing up his life. He's at the end of life when this was written. He's looking back over everything. And if you study the life of Solomon, yes, he had wisdom from God. He was the greatest king ever of Israel, the richest man that probably ever existed on this earth. And he did a lot of messed up stuff.
Yes, like, he did.
He basically said, I am going to try anything and everything to see what's going to satisfy me in life. And that's what Ecclesiastes is basically, here's a guy that's saying, listen, I had the money, the resources, the time. I had everything available to me to try every worldly pleasure that is possibly out there. I did it all, is basically what Solomon is saying. And he comes to one conclusion. It was meaningless. Or in some versions, vanity.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it's a waste of time. So when you look at Ecclesiastes as a whole, that's what he's basically saying. He's giving the comparison of seeking happiness and fulfillment through worldly things, temporary things. And that's the conclusion he comes to. He's like, listen, I gave myself to work, meaningless. I gave myself to pleasure, meaningless. He's like, yeah, at one point in time, Ecclesiastes says, if there was anything my heart desired, I took it. I wanted it. Meaningless. And it all comes down to one conclusion. Solomon tells us at the end of his life, the only thing that matters is God. He's like, that's the only place of fulfillment. And that's what Ecclesiastes is him basically laying that out and saying, learn from me. Again, it's a wisdom book because he's like, learn from my wisdom. But he's also kind of saying, learn from my foolishness, you know. But yeah, he says that actually if you read it in chapter 2, it's actually verse 10. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all of my works, and this was the reward for all my labor. So yeah, you can't look at Solomon and say, well, you didn't try this. He's like, no, I tried it.
Kind of reminds me of Judges that we're going through right now.
Yeah.
Right in my own eyes.
Right in my own eyes. Yeah. And you know, and that's the thing that, you know, we always kind of look at the if onlys, right? If only I had this, if only. And Solomon is a man that's saying, listen, I had no if onlys. I did everything. And it all comes down to it's meaningless.
Yep.
Except for God.
Yeah.
Sometimes it kind of sounds depressing when you read Ecclesiastes. But at the same time, it's very encouraging because he's basically saying, don't waste your time. I did this. Don't learn from me. Don't waste your time.
Yeah.
And whenever I read Ecclesiastes, I think about that's how I try to teach my kids, right? Like, hey, I've done that. It's not worth it. But they're still going to have to choose whether they're going to trust me or they're going to have to learn themselves. And unfortunately, many times we look at this and say, well, I'll still do it my way.
Yep.
So
yeah, I just read a book called Living Life Backwards that goes through the book of Ecclesiastes, and that was a really good book.
Yeah.
So chapter 3,
that's
a song, right? Too.
Yeah. it was scripture first,
right? Yes, well, I know, yes. But
yes.
Yeah.
If I was like Matt, that could just pull up this information, I could tell you who sang
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know.
What
I
year it
think.
Came out, and
yeah.
But yes, it is a song that. There are people that can quote scripture and they don't even realize it.
I was thinking when I was prepping for this, there were two verses in here that I thought would be good to point out because I think they're ones that we can question or wonder, okay, why is that in there? So verse 3, a time to kill and a time to heal, or specifically a time to kill. And the commentary that I was reading said that that's specifically speaking to capital punishment, that to remember that this is the nation state of Israel, and God has established laws about when the death penalty should be enacted. Mm-hmm. So there is, in fact, a time to kill. Mm-hmm. So this is different than like revenge or they have something I want or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the other one would be verse 8, a time to hate. And so, because we think, boy, when is there a time to hate? Why would God want us to hate? But again, this would reference God hates sin, and so we should hate sin too.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, when we read this, like the time to hate, we instantly put that into the idea of people.
Yeah,
like love, like, people, hate people.
Yeah, God says it right here in the Bible.
Yeah, and God says flat out, you know, I like an example. I hate divorce.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's something that, you know, God hates anything that brings pain or hurt or division or any of that. So yeah, I mean, we have to look beyond just the, oh, I hate people.
Right.
And then, yeah, the time to kill, you know, that's an interesting, you know, the capital punishment stuff, and not to go down that, everybody has kind of their view with that, mm-hmm. but there is a time to, you know, but the point of murder is God is, yes, against taking life mm-hmm. when it is for selfish
right.
intentions.
And we have to think about the context of
yes.
this and
yeah.
when it was written and,
yes.
and yeah.
And think beyond just people, right? There are mm-hmm. times to kill, you know, like, you know, Pastor Matt likes to say a lot of times, you know, ruthlessly cut sin out of your mm-hmm. life. So there's like a killing of things.
Ooh,
sometimes
like
there's killing of a relationship of like, this isn't good for me. You know, sometimes you need to heal it.
Yeah.
So you have to look beyond just the, yeah. But Ecclesiastes, great book. But then we go into, I don't know if you have any more Ecclesiastes, but we also need to address Song of Solomon
yes.
or Song of Songs.
The only thing I would say to wrap up Ecclesiastes in chapter 12 was basically like, it's just saying like, remember God. It starts yep. out, at least in my version, it says, remember your creator. And so our job is to enjoy God and obey God.
Mm-hmm. And he ends with that, you know, fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear God.
Yep.
You know, like be in
yep.
awe.
Yep.
And reverence. So,
yeah. So, Song of Solomon, David. I'll just let you run
with
this.
Oh, yeah.
One.
Song of Solomon. So, Song of Songs again. Another of Solomon. One of the reasons it's called Song of Songs, or at least the history of it, is because Solomon probably was a guy that wrote a lot. This is an actual song. Like it's an, you know, like kind of this poetic, you know, it's a book of wisdom, but it's mm-hmm. poetry.
Right.
This is probably called Song of Songs. The theory is that this was probably one of his, like his best. It's like identifying it as like, this is one of his best.
I like it. So is it a story of human love? Is it about God's love for his people?
Okay.
Or is it both?
Yes. It's primarily this is laying out love between a husband and a wife relationship. There are foreshadowings. There is connection between God and his people. The reason I say it is both, but the reason I would be careful to try to read everything into trying to like push it onto God and us
mm-hmm.
is okay. Cause there's some stuff in here. It's like, that's
explicit.
Clearly between a husband and a wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what it's all about. This is Solomon presenting what a love relationship is between a husband and a wife, and it's broken down. Again, I know we're not reading the whole book through this study, mm-hmm. but the it's broken down into kind of three sections. The first part of the book is kind of the courtship.
Mm-hmm.
The second part is the actual marriage and kind of that wedding night.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of have the maturity of their marriage, right? Because mm-hmm. so it's hitting all parts. How do you treat each other in the beginning? The intimacy of the relationship, and then also having to mature in the relationship. But when you read this, it's a conversation between the bride and the husband,
mm-hmm.
right?
And she acknowledges that she's not conventionally attractive.
Yep.
Because it says she's dark skinned because she lives in a culture that values light skin.
Yep.
But it's because she's been out in the sun because mm-hmm. she is out working. So I found that interesting.
Yeah. Well, and what you see in it is you see how Solomon is presenting the guys, this is to us as husbands, but also wives, it's the same thing, but he cherishes her. Like there's this, I don't care. You know, you're struggling with your appearance, but this is what I see. There's this devotion to one another. And here's the thing also about Song of Solomon is, and not to digress into it, but you know, a lot of times we grow up in church where we treat physical intimacy and, oh, don't talk about sex, don't do that. This is a very clear book that it's like, no, in the context of marriage, that is one of the greatest gifts God has given of intimacy between a man and a woman. And it's celebrated.
And this book definitely affirms his good design for that.
Yes. So we have to be careful not to be all like, oh, let's avoid that because that's, I mean, it's pretty like,
it's been a while since we've done a sermon series that includes this. I think we need to resurrect that. And
So there should be this passion and desire in marriage. There should be this devotion in marriage and protection for both sides. You can see how she desires him and he desires her. You know, and that's that. You have to work at it. And that's why you kind of get later on in the book, and it talks about kind of like this. She's struggling. You know, she's there's some dream parts where she. You just when you read it, you can really feel the intensity of their relationship, but. Before we're done, it does fit some with God. There are a couple of passages that, you know, like in chapter 2, verse 4, he has taken me into the banquet hall and his banner of love is over me. So there is some comparisons to Christ and the church. He's the bridegroom, we're the bride. So you can still see that in this, but it's mainly husbands, wives, marriage, love relationship. So